On Trinity Sunday, I marvel at how many churches, schools, colleges, and other institutions bear the name of the Trinity. It's a unique name, it's a unique teaching. Only Christians believe in the Trinity, whose feast day is today. In fact, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're not a Christian. So we ought to know what it means. Well, firstly, it does not mean that there are three gods, but rather three persons who are equally God. Not a Godhead shared as one might share a corner of a table or food, but rather each divine person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are God substantially. One might use the example of water to help them grasp this doctrine. Water, as we know, has many diverse forms: liquid, solid, and gas, ice, water, and steam. But in each case, the chemical substance, its nature remains the same, H2O. Also, too, God exists as three persons, but each person has the same substance, the divine nature. It is without a doubt that this mysterious doctrine is not readily grasped by all, Christians included. It did take the Catholic Church, the only Christian church of antiquity, 6 centuries to nut out the correct theological language on the nature of the Trinity, a teaching that was revealed to us by Christ himself. Often, when discussing this teaching, some cynics or skeptics may respond with, "What does it all matter? All religions are the same, after all." That belief infers that religion, what we mortals believe regarding God in the next life, a set of beliefs which makes a faith, is all man-made. And that God is not too fussed what version of faith you have as long as you do the right thing. Common opinion held by many. But is it true? Let's imagine God, they say, as being on top of a mountain, as if it was heaven. And he's up there and we're down here, and he has ascending to him various paths, some on the north side, some on the west, some on the east. Some are more direct, of course, and others are more vague. But each group on the path ascending to the summit think they're the only ones that will arrive. When all paths meet at the summit, they then gather and realize, oh, we've all come here to be with God, but by different ways. And people say, well, that's how religions exist. We're all kind of doing our own thing, but at the end, God will be the same God for all of us. It doesn't really matter what faith you have. As long as you're loyal and do the right thing and do your best. What does it matter whether you're a Muslim or a Baptist or Jew? Just keep on going and somehow you'll get there. That theory, which is now common and has been taught in universities and schools for over 100 years, comes from certain strands or beliefs in philosophy, especially relativism, and has been fostered by psychology. What can we say about it? That there are many paths to God, and it doesn't really matter which path you take, but there's only one God, and we'll all find that the God we believed in is the God there. Well, firstly, there are elements of truth in it. We need religion. God does not. It's our instrument, might say, to take us from here to there. There's no religion in heaven, for there's no need of religion. There's no faith there as such. So you don't need flippers and floaties if there's no water around. We won't need faith because we see God as he is. Nor will we need hope because we've arrived. So that's true. It's also true that God, being God, can draw people to himself by his own mysterious manner. What is not true, however, is that all religions are much the same, and that God does not really give a tinker's cuss what belief system you buy into. Yes, it's true that all religions do have common elements, such as a code, cult, and conduct. But that does not infer that all religions are equal. Is it not plausible that some religions may have borrowed from the original version to cast their own? I think so. And common traits in common realities do not infer necessarily a common cause. Common colours on the canvases in an art gallery do not infer that all the paintings were painted by the same artist. Also, isn't it somewhat arrogant of us mere mortals to tell God that all his religions are the same? Is there not one true religion? Has not God bothered to reveal himself to us? The Feast of the Blessed Trinity is all about God, through Jesus Christ, revealing himself as he is. But before we dwell more on that, let's line up the big religions of the world. Firstly, let's block the monotheistic religions, those who believe in a personal God, as Judaism, that's the Jews, Christianity, and Islam, the Muslims. All other religions that do not come into this block are what we call pantheistic, or natural, or philosophies of life, such as Hinduism and Buddhism, or Shintoism. Going back to these three monotheistic religions, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, now half the world embrace these three religions. Can we test them to ascertain if one might be truer than the other two? That is, one comes more from God than man? Yes, the following examination sorts the wheat from the chaff by focusing on the founder of each of them and asking specific questions. Why the founder? Well, if God wanted to connect with us humans, he needs a link, someone that is visible and physical to engage with him who is invisible and spiritual. As we know, the three founders are Abraham for the Jews, Christ for Christians, and Muhammad for Islam. First question. If God, who is eternal, does exist and wants to teach us his religion by means of his founder or prophet, that's what a prophet is, a teacher, would he not have wanted to prepare the world for his coming? I think so. Was Abraham or Muhammad foretold or predicted before their births? No. There's no documentary evidence whatsoever that the world was waiting for Abraham or Muhammad. But there is documents referring to Christ. For centuries, hundreds of writings or prophecies were made about him, where he would be born, of what family, when, and so forth. And when he came, he fulfilled them all. Second question in our test. If God is all-powerful, would he not want his divine power to be used by his founder? Makes sense after all. Did Abraham work any miracles? Did he have divine power? No. Was Muhammad renowned for authentic miracles during his lifetime? No. His followers decades after his death accredited him with some miracles, but not during his life. Yet Christ, throughout his life, worked miracles, wonders in nature, diverse healings that were witnessed by thousands. Indeed, there were 33 miracles worked by the Lord, not to mention his own resurrection. Third question on our test. Lastly, the founder would need to leave a lasting legacy after his death to maintain followers in his religion. This legacy should have a personal link, for God is a person. Among both the Jews and Muslims, one's degree of religious adherence is determined not by one's similarity to the founder, but by one's compliance with a text, a book, the Torah for the Jews and the Quran for the Muslims. Followers of Christianity, however, are assessed by one's imitation of Christ, who said, "Come, follow me." Remember, Christ never left us a Bible, but a church, his body, that in time gave us the text of the New Testament. That book, the New Testament, tells us about Christ solely so that we might know him and thus follow him. A measure of proximity to God thus is determined by how well we reflect Christ in this life. There are the three questions to our founders, and in each case, Christianity wins. But lastly, let us not forget our history. Don't forget that the Jews were called by God to become Christians. Jesus was their Messiah, and some did accept him, and some did not. For God does not force his religion upon us. Islam, the third monotheistic religion, came 5 centuries after the Lord and is a minestrone of Jewish and Christian beliefs with its own peculiar Arabian flavour. Now, at the end of the day, God only willed one true religion, and Christ, in the fullness of time, came and revealed himself to us for our salvation. Let us therefore be proud to sign ourselves with his cross, the means of our redemption, as we recall upon the Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.